Fresh Takes. Fresh Takes. Get your Fresh Takes here on the Don't Evolve Me podcast. It's your host, Jake Sherbing, on this solo episode. Solo. 3 weeks in a row. This is a smaller episode this week. I'll explain why here on the podcast in a little bit. But in this episode, we're just doing Fresh Takes on the newest movie, Alien Romulus. I got the chance to see the movie this weekend, and I'm so happy that I was able to see it because it's a great movie, and I want to talk about it. I want to talk about my love for the Alien franchise and just the confusing nature of this franchise, because I think it's an interesting franchise to talk about. But anyway, let's get to it. Alien Romulus, that's the movie we're reviewing. Cue the music! Hello, and welcome to Don't Evolve Me, the place like Ash Ketchum's Pikachu, we don't evolve. We just level up. In this episode, we're reviewing Alien Romulus. That's right, Fresh Takes. Get your Fresh Takes here on the Don't Evolve Me podcast. I don't know why, but I like saying it that way, so I think that might be a thing for a while. But yeah, we're talking about Alien Romulus. It was a movie that came out this weekend, a movie that I got to see personally, and I'm so excited that I got to see it, because it's frankly a pretty good film. I'll give you guys my ratings later on, and my thoughts on the film, and even my MVP. So this movie was really good, and I'm happy that I got to see a movie that's worthy of talking about, even if it's not necessarily my norm. But I do think Alien falls close to the category of nerd. But before I do that, I want to talk a little bit why it's a shorter episode and why I just haven't been posting a lot lately, at least for TikTok, social media, and other places. This isn't the main reason, but I want to give a shout out to my aunt, Lorene Hootenin. She passed away this last week. And it's my aunt's step aunt to be correct, and one of those people that I didn't get to see often, but it's still, the loss was like a lot of impact, and not the reason why I haven't done a lot of content, but just like kind of like the last thing where I'm like, all right, I need to take a step back for a week, because she's one of those special kind of types of people, man. Like, she's one of those special people that, like, I didn't see her often. When I was a kid, I got to see her every couple times a year. And it was always a treat. And she's one of the most welcoming people that I've ever met. And it's not one of those things where when someone dies, you kind of glaze them up. Like, she's, like, legitimately one of the nicest and welcoming people that I've ever met personally. And it was always, like, a blast going up north, because she lived about 2 hours away, going up north, going to hang out, spending time with her family, her son, Cody, love him to death. Like, I haven't spoken with him in a while. Wish that wasn't the case. This is what happens when you're adults. But he was best man at my wedding. Great person. His mom, arguably even a greater person. Like, she was amazing. Like, one of the reasons why she was amazing was always, it's just the smallest thing. It seemed like every time we talked, there was like some type of impact being made. Because as kids, she was welcoming. My parents, like, oh, I'd be running around their house going crazy, ADHD kid just letting loose. And my parents just being worried about it. And she's just like, no, he's a kid. Let him have fun. Like, they're welcome. I am okay. And anytime when me and my cousin Cody are like, hey, can we stay over? Can we hang out? She always like, yeah, I want you kids to get together. Like, it was always the welcoming, like, always a welcoming person. And as an adult, like, I got to know, like, realize how sweet of a person she was. Because, like, in my family, we do Minnesota family, we're about small talk, and like the aunts and uncles, grandparents, family members that I do get to see often, It's always a smaller conversation. It's always like small talk, you know, conversation. Hey, how are you? How's it going? That's good. Let's talk about interest. And my family's really in the hunting. They're really like outdoorsmen, Republican, conservative, small town family. Not saying anything bad about that. Was never my thing. ADHD kid, I just could not get into that world. So it was always hard. Never really had much of a relationship with family. Like, it was a harder thing to connect with. Like, it's hard to connect with them. But every time I had a conversation with her, there was a connection. And it was always, like, I just think back about our conversations that we've had. And it was always just, like, the same conversation. Like, hey, especially, like, when I was an adult, you know, becoming my own person, my own man. It was always, like, the same type of conversation. But it always, like, it always hit. It was always, she's always, like, the person I wanted to talk to. Because she was like, hey, how are you? I've seen that you're going to college. How's college? How's classes? What are you thinking for school? What are you doing? You know, as you become parents, like, hey, how's your kid? How's your child doing? How's being a parent? How's the struggles? And then after the conversation, regardless of how long that conversation was, she always ended it the same, which is, hey, you're doing great things. I'm so proud of you, kid. Keep it up. And that's like that's the impact. I always left that conversation feeling good. You know, it was always that conversation that was like, you know, that she was there, supportive. And like, looking back, that is a person I wish I had more conversations with. That was a person I wish I was around more. So shout out to Lorene, one of my favorite aunts. So moving forward. All right, moving forward. What have you been nerding out on? I feel bad for you guys because I have not changed one bit what I've been nerding out on. My hyperfixation is real. It is on Fallout 4. I have a new love for that game. I played the DLC. I have finished Far Harbor, and I am mostly finished with Nuka World. I just mostly got to explore Nuka World. And I'm excited to talk to you guys about it. Whenever I'm able, me and Tom, Nerdy the New York Chatfield, are able to get together and talk about, because I know that he loves Fallout. Again, we did this a year ago. We're going to do it again, but we're going to do specifically Fallout 4 because, man, I've been playing it, I'm in it, and I have lots of thoughts. Also, just lots of thoughts of, like, the next Fallout game. The top 5 locations. That's something I'm going to do. I'm going to ask Tom to do it, too. Top 5 locations for next Fallout game. I know we talked about this last year, but I have more thoughts on it. I know I almost want to write my own, like, version of the two. And it's a selfish version. I'm fully aware of, like, the selfish Fallout game I want. You might know it if you know me, what I'm talking about. Or maybe not, but I'll explain it later. So, yeah, Fallout 4 is, like, basically the only thing I've been really nerding out on. I didn't... When it comes to Alien Romulus and, like, the other Alien movies, I have not actually seen the other Alien movies. I did not prep to talk about this movie. Wasn't on my game plan. But, man, I got the opportunity to watch it. Heard it was great. So, yeah. Another thing I've been nerding out on is just Alien lore. Relearning the stories. Let's get into the news.
It's time for a new Squicky. Oh, yeah.
All right, not a whole lot of news, but we'll get into it. James Gunn, director of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1, 2, 3, and 4, as well as The Suicide Squad. Not Suicide Squad, The Suicide Squad. I don't know why they didn't, like, make a different name. I don't understand Hollywood and simple titles. James Gunn switches often for this. Superman Legacy is now Superman. That's not the news, though. James Gunn talks about special effects and how it's a huge problem for Hollywood. It's one of the reasons why strike was occurring. It's one of the... Well, no, that's the writer strike, actor strike. Should be a strike, though. Because special effects being pushed and pushed more and more and more has been a problem in Hollywood that's been discussed for the last couple of years. And James Gunn's talked about it. He talked about why it's not an issue for him. And it's so simple, But I like that he's like having this discussion where it's like, yeah, we don't have these discussions, we don't have these problems because I film it and then we have a year to do effects. Superman Legacy comes out in July, 11 months from now. They finished, I believe, in July too. They finished filming. It's like now these guys have a year to get the effects ready for the release. Talk about healthy filming schedule, healthy time to get things done, and we're not pushing. Yeah, I guess that's not really news, but I thought it was an interesting article where James Gunn just basically admitted that, like, yeah, we're a lot of, like, we don't do it for our movies. That is something we talk about, it's something that we plan for, that way everyone has a good amount of time. Is that something that Hollywood's going to do? No, because, of course, they're trying to make money, and of course, what they try to do is just pump out as many movies as possible, meaning they're going to push and push and push and push and push these effects teams to get things done. And it's just nice to see a director, not just a director, but like a CEO of essentially DC movies, DC studios, stating like, we're not doing this. We're doing this system so that these guys have the time to finish and make great films because they deserve it. And we shouldn't have to push and we shouldn't be making a toxic workplace. And I guess there is other news too. So I just read an article, Spider-Verse. Spider-Verse was supposed to be coming out, the third film. I believe it's Beyond the Spider-Verse. I'm getting these movies mixed up so much. I believe it's Into, Across, and Beyond. 1, 2, and 3. Can we just say 1, 2, and 3 Spider-Verse? Spider-Verse 2 just came out a year ago. Spider-Verse 3 is supposed to come out this year, but it's been delayed, and it's probably going to be delayed for a few years because the creators of that team also talked about how they want to make their amazing project, but they don't want to essentially make a hostile work environment. And I know last year we talked about, we had this the major talk of, like, because Across the Spider-Verse, Spider-Verse 2 is a 5. It's arguably the greatest superhero movie of all time. And I say that about Into the Spider-Verse. This movie is just better, like, at least from a technological standpoint. Like, the art is gorgeous. Storytelling-wise, I mean, the movie was a part one. But even storytelling-wise, it was amazing. But I like that these creators are now realizing the harm that they're doing, and they're taking a step back. Because as a consumer, and I even realize this with Amazon, I do enjoy getting things as fast as humanly possible. I think we all do. But man, knowing that other people are just being broken down for essentially profit, not something that, I think if we know the truth as fans, I don't think that's something we enjoy. And that's something I talk about Across the Spider-Verse. Like, man, I really like the product, but I don't know if we like the way of getting there. It's like the movie Whiplash. Miles Teller and I'm blanking on J.K. Simmons' name. J.K. Simmons. They play in it. J.K. Simmons is this coach. He's very abusive. He essentially abuses his drummer into this phenomenal once-in-a-lifetime performance. And through that abuse, he's able to get that performance, but was it worth it? It's a really interesting question. That was something that we brought up last year. Was it worth it for Spider-Verse? But I do like that now we have James Gunn, even the same creators of Spider-Verse, asking that question. Like, okay, maybe we can not push this movie out right away. We'll take our time. And I like that. Because I want people who make beautiful projects, I want them to love the process too, not just being pushed to do it. Alright, I said this was going to be smaller and it led to a whole talking point. Maybe I need another person to control my ADHD. Maybe that's it. Alright, news number 2. The actor who plays Boba Fett in the Boba Fett series, Tamaran Morrison, top of my head, he has just confirmed that Boba Fett is not in the Mandalorian and Grogu movie. Just a little bit of news there. No Boba Fett. which I think anyone who's been following along at all, it's not surprised. Boba Fett doesn't really fit the story, and yeah, that TV show was kind of a letdown. The best part about it was Mandalorian. So, but I hope Boba Fett gets some love soon. And the last little bit of news is Nickelodeon All-Stars Brawl 2. I haven't played the first one, but I saw that the Iroh, General Iroh, just got released, and he's going to be a part of it. And man, I don't know why, because Iroh's not much of a fighter. But man, part of me really wants the game, just so I can play as Iroh, at least for a moment. Just want to give Iroh some love. Alright, that is the news. Now we're going to talk Aliens Romulus. Alright, so before we get into Alien Romulus, this specific movie, I wanted to kind of give context for my love of the Alien franchise and my weird history with it. Because my family growing up, we weren't like a bunch of film buffs, I should say. My dad himself, like, he had his movies, but he wasn't really like a film buff. He was more of an outdoorsman. So I didn't really get a whole lot of experience to like 80s films. I didn't really get any experience to Alien. I still have never watched Terminator. And that's one of those things that people usually like look at me angrily when I tell them, like, you haven't watched Terminator? I'm like, was never exposed to it. Same with like Die Hard. I haven't watched the first couple of Die Hard movies. And yes, I should probably get into them. But Alien, I never got into Alien. My first exposure to the Alien franchise was Alien versus Predator. Because as a kid, growing up when I was like 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, I started really wanting to get into horror-ish movies. As well as sci-fi movies, because I like the idea of space. I like the idea of like science. And so the movie Alien vs. Predator came out, and I really like crossover films. One of the few like movies that I liked getting into horror was Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street. And so like when Nightmare on Elm Street came out, me being 9, 10 years old, wanting to get into horror, that was the crossover. Like, there was horror movie crossover events before there was like superhero crossover events. And it was a big deal for us kids. It's something that I really wanted to get into. And so Aliens and Predators had their own. Had their own little crossover. And I was very interested because I knew there were horror franchises. I knew Predator was a franchise. I knew Alien was a franchise. I didn't know the difference between them. I thought Alien was Predator at first because it made more sense. And I thought Predator was the alien. Because in my mind, like, the alien is more humanoid, is more of like, you know, a creature you can communicate with, whereas Predator, I see just, you know, an animalish beast-like thing. So I always thought it was, like, different. I always thought it was reverse. So I'd watch Alien vs. Predator, and I thought the Predator was the alien and the alien was Predator. You guys get it. And I will say this, that is like the worst movie to jump into for the Alien franchise, but so many of us, that's how we jumped into it. And lore-wise, it makes no sense. Like, the Alien lore does make zero sense when it comes to Alien vs. Predator. I didn't really learn much about Alien there, other than that there's eggs and the things are creepy. I always thought the Predator franchise was better. Or I was more interested in the Predator franchise. And I still haven't watched really any Predator movies. I watched like glimpses of it, but I've never watched and sat down and watched a full Predator movie. This is not my genre of expertise. But this is why I really like the Alien franchise. Because I got into it. I bought into it. About 10 years later, I watched Prometheus. That is the second movie I jumped into the Alien franchise. Man, and for those who loves 80s films, I'm sorry for ticking you off, because that would tick me off as a fan. Like, what? Your first is Alien vs. Predator, and now you're telling me Prometheus was your first mainline film? To be fair, when I watched it, it was only rumored that it was Alien. It was, like, rumored that it was going to be a thing. And I was really into movies, so I'm I watched it in theaters. Thought the lore was interesting. Was really interested in the idea of engineers. Was really interested in xenomorphs being creation, the perfect species, whatnot. I got interested. Still didn't watch the Alien movies. It took me 5, 6, 7 years. And this is where Aliens starts becoming a love thing, where I started to love it. Because this is the first franchise me and my wife decided to watch together. Like, when we decided to be, like, instead of being friends, being a couple, like, Alien was the first movie we watched. And that was, like, the first movie we enjoyed. Sat down, watched. It was sci-fi for me. It was horror for her. She's a horror fanatic. We did the Michael Myers films for Halloween. And I'm sorry to say that we didn't get to do this together. She did want to. But it was a busy weekend. Didn't get the chance to. An Alien. So this is where we got into it. We watched Aliens, and then I ended up watching Aliens 3 and Aliens Resurrection by myself. And I just started loving the franchise, because the first movie was great. It was just clear, classic horror sci-fi. It was a classic sci-fi movie, which is the fact that sci-fi and horror aren't much different. When people think sci-fi, they think Star Wars. They think in space. No, the origins of a sci-fi movie is the idea of an external force that's not supernatural, that is more scientific, whether it is in the ocean or in space, coming down and haunting humanity. That is, like, the clear-cut origins for sci-fi. It is very much more horror-based. Star Wars, Star Trek, they kind of changed and shifted the idea of what is a sci-fi. But classic origins, the first Alien movie, that is, like, a very pure example of what sci-fi is. And if I'm wrong, please let me know if I am wrong on it. But from my understanding, that's from the college class talking about different genres of movies, that's how it was explained to me, that sci-fi was more or less similar to horror. And so the first Alien movie, that's what it was like. And that was directed by Scott Ridley, who I'm pretty sure did Blade Runner. Great filmmaker. But this franchise is so weird, because the second movie comes out, and it wasn't Scott Ridley who wrote it. It was James Cameron. He wrote Aliens. And it was a continuation of the story. But that continuation, it didn't keep the theme. Didn't keep the genre. I didn't keep this classic sci-fi horror. Because Alien was simply like this group of workers for the company. A group of human workers in one synth that go on to the space station. And it's just dark. The xenomorph is just haunting them. Simple, excellent sci-fi. And it's just creepy. Aliens becomes more of an action movie, right? It's a bunch of soldiers fighting aliens. And they're shooting off with guns. It's more of a sci-fi action film. And arguably the greatest film in the franchise. Aliens was great. But it was just a completely, totally different film. It was a film that, it's a more of a genre that I more appreciate. I more appreciate the sci-fi action as well as, like, the mixture of horror rather than just the sci-fi horror nature of the first one. Then the third one and the fourth one was just so different and so much the same. It's a continuation of the story. It's a continuation of Ripley. But the third one was like, all right, F all the beloved characters and the happy ending of the second one. Bring them back. They're dead. Ripley. So much controversy with that one. But the idea of that is different, right? The idea of, like, empowerment. It's, like, more of a cult film. It's more of this, like, darker look of humanity and prisoners versus xenomorphs. It was a very interesting film. I would say the third Alien film is, like, to me, is probably the most interesting. The fact that it's just so different than the other two. But it's actually really good in its own way, especially the director's cut. Because David Fincher, another beloved director. James Cameron did Avatar. James Cameron did Titanic. James Cameron did Terminator. David Finch. Why do I feel like I got the name wrong? The guy who did Fight Club. The guy who did Zodiac. Like, these are excellent directors. And then Alien 4 comes out. Alien Resurrection. And it's Joss Whedon. The guy who wrote and directed Avengers. And it's very Joss Whedon-ish. It's very Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It's very, just very comical nature. And all four of these films are good to great. Like, they're, none of them are bad. They're just so tonally different that the franchise itself kind of just fell apart. And it's just, for me, like, film-wise, it's just an interesting study. Prometheus came out, and then Alien Covenant come out. I did not watch Alien Covenant. Prometheus is weird because it, like, was and wasn't an Aliens movie. It, like, wasn't, but I think it was. And then they're like, yeah, it's an Aliens movie. Like, we can't hide it from you guys. I don't know. Like, I just remember being like, Prometheus, oh, it's part of the Aliens. Like, I just like Prometheus as it was. Covenant, I didn't get the chance to watch. It's on the watch list. It's on the watch later list. I hear it got decent reviews. I haven't even looked at it yet. But Alien almost came out. And I didn't know much about it. I was like, oh, another Alien movie. It'll be like Covenant. Then I kept seeing the reviews. And my parents, they asked for, we just had our daughter. Parents asked to have her for a day, and they're like, hey, can we have her for a night? And I was like, all right, we talked about watching Alien, Romulus, because we have, like, that was our first movie that we saw together. So I think, let's go have a date night. Heard it was a great film. And man, I'm sorry for the long delay in context, but let's talk, like, Alien Romulus is great. I really enjoyed this movie. It, like, I'm just cut to the chase, like, it's a great film. And if you know, or, like, when I say great, like, what rating that is, you should know what the rating is already. Like, it's a great film. And it's one of those films that, like, story-wise, it's not a continuation of Ripley. Sigourney Weaver, she's not in this movie. It's all new characters. Except for potentially one character. But I think we're led to believe it's a completely different character. The idea is, Alien Romulus takes place between Alien and Aliens. It's about, and I believe it's like a 20-year gap or so. Because there is enormous, like, almost like 200 years between Alien 1 and Alien 4. And each movie has a huge separation of years. Because in order to space travel, it's not like Star Wars where you can just go places instantaneously. Or like Mass Effect. It's more like Interstellar. And the idea is like, it's not really Interstellar because they used, you know, wormholes to get places. But it's the idea of, like, humans need to essentially go into sleep. They need to be frozen. They need to be in sleep animation or whatever. I forget what they call it in the movie. And so in order to go from movie to movie, like, in order to go to planet to planet, you have to sleep for years. Alien Romulus is about this group of young adults. I don't want to say teenagers, because I get the sense of, like, a group of 20-year-olds. They're on this planet, this mining planet that sees no sun. Everything is covered. Atmosphere is covered. And it's a generation that essentially seen their parents die. Like, the main characters, their parents died because of lung disease. They're working in the mines, and they died of, like, black lung or whatever the disease was. As well as, like, another set of characters, like one of their moms, died because a synth, one of the synthetics, artificial people, as the one synth would say. I say synth because I'm playing Fallout 4. I forget. Like, they call the robots so many different things. I don't know what the official title of they are, but the synthetic people. The classic androids that are in the story. The idea is, or, like, what happened to the guy's mom was the synth decided to say, hey, we can save 12 people if we kill these 3 people, or if we let them die. And that's how they lost one of their parents. And so the main character, it's her and her synth, a synth that her father found, and essentially was her brother, and it's a broken synth. And Andy is his name. And this actor deserves credit. I should find his name, because he deserves absolute credit. David Johnson. Because he plays, there's multiple versions of the same character, and he plays them well. And I really like the rendition of the broken Andy, the Andy without the module. Because he comes with the fact that he doesn't work smoothly. He's very awkward. And I work with a lot of kids who are autistic, and he just reminds me of a lot of the clients that I worked with. Very super smart, very super capable, but just can't handle the overwhelmingness of everything in the world. Because as soon as shit starts happening, he kind of freezes up, and you have to reset him. And I'm like, I don't know if they're trying to make an autism analogy with the character, but that was what I was getting from this character. And this idea was this group of kids, they found out that, hey, something entered this planet's orbit. They have the components for us to be able to travel and sleep, so we're not losing 9 years of our life and we can get the fuck out of here. And this comes after, and this is mostly just set up from the movie. This isn't a whole lot of spoilers. I should say fresh takes spoiler. This is my spoiler review. So if you don't want to go any further, I apologize. It's a great film. Check it out. That's my recommendation. It's a great film. I will be getting the spoilers though, and I will just be freely speaking about how I feel about this movie. And note to self, put it in the description that this is a spoiler review. 30 minutes in. So, the idea, I really enjoyed this movie before the Xenomorph showed up. Because the idea is, hey, we have to do this risky thing to exit late-stage capitalism. And that's what it is. I don't think this movie was trying to be very political. I don't know if they're trying to make a stance on capitalism. But that's the idea of aliens, is you have these companies that essentially operate like a government. And one of our main character, she's trying to leave. She's trying to leave with her android. She's trying to leave with Andy. She put in enough work to fill the contract. And so as she goes to leave, they say, nope, your contract hasn't been fulfilled. She's like, what? No, you required 6 years. I did 6 years. Like, well, due to labor shortage, we extended your contract to 12 years. We're doubling it. And just the idea of hey, now you can either do this for 6 years and further poison your body and, suffer the same fate as the generation before you, the parents before you, or take this risk. Go on to the space station and try to make the jump to another planet that more than likely will kill you. Just that setup, that premise of a film, to me is interesting. That movie, the space station they go to, you can probably guess that there is xenomorphs or anything that resembles xenomorphs on that space station. You would be correct. The movie's simple in that setup. But the premise itself, if that space station was actually just peaceful and they just escape and the whole movie was just dealing with this the overwhelming force of space and the overwhelming odds of leaving capitalism or leaving that situation and the politics behind all that, that to me would be a great film itself. That's not the film. The film is they go on the space station, they try to get the parts, and as they try to get the parts, they realize there's xenomorphs on the space station and they learn about, this new alien race. Just saying, the premise was great. I was excited for this film prior to them going to the space station because I was locked in. I was like, dude. And visually, it's really great. The visuals are amazing. The visuals, it felt real. Everything felt real. And I don't know how to explain it other than the fact that they don't really use a whole lot of CGI. They use real environments. It doesn't feel like there's really much of a green screen. There's not one moment I was like, oh, that's green screen. Oh, that's green screen. Because I watched a lot of movies recently, and Deadpool's one of them too, where there's not a lot of special like stages or effects. It's mostly just green screen. And, you know, we can kind of tell, like, after a while, like, if it's not done perfectly, it kind of feels fake. It doesn't feel realistic. And this movie does a really good job of just making props, using not necessarily on-set locations, but like in the studio stage. Like, the design, the visual effects was amazing. And they really used music and lighting to the effect, to a really good effect. I'm not going to say there's a lot of jump scares, but generally it's not like the most terrifying film, but it gets you in the mood. There are some really, really cool shots in this movie. So yeah, the overall story is pretty good. There's some pretty cool twists in it. And they kind of take a lot from a lot of different movies. It's not just a remake of the first movie, but it's really similar to the first one in the sense that it is just a sci-fi tell. It is a sci-fi movie. They use on-set stage. It's all about the horror. It's a smaller group. And it also expands the lore. This movie is very similar to Resurrection. There is, and if you know, I'm not going to spoil the ending, but if you know, you know. I guess I did say spoilers. I don't know. I never know where I land on spoilers. I don't want to be too in the details, but I want people to generally enjoy the analysis without having it, you know, spoiled, break, you know, each point. So I guess I'll just vaguely describe the film. But yeah, they go on. Andy gets an upgrade. They go on there. They see a bunch of facehuggers. They don't know what they are, but they're, you know, facehuggers are creepy. And they inject one of the victims. And the victim is on the poster. It is the poster of the whole thing. And it starts this crazy mess. And it's classic Alien. It's how Alien works, right? And the whole thing happens. You know, the C gets placed within like an hour, within minutes. You know, the thing is born inside the body, breaks through the rib cage, and it is bloody, gory, and just tragic all in one. And it's this, it's an expanded of lore. Because it's this idea that's like, hey, this company ship is all about breeding. It's all about breeding xenomorphs, because the idea of xenomorphs is making the perfect human, making the perfect species, and trying to make the perfect, using the perfect species to make mankind better. Because the whole theme of the film, or the whole idea, is like, mankind is not made for space travel. They're not made to withstand. So they need the perfect organism. And man, xenomorphs are, I don't know if I'd say perfect, but deadly. So they figure it out. They found the xenomorph gets born. And you kind of just realize that there's a bunch of xenomorphs. Andy gets programming from the other synthetic. Andy becomes this really smart person. And it's just this idea of like, hey, he's intelligent now. He now works for the company. Like, his whole drive and motive. And I really like this because it's just the two different characters for Andy. And this idea of like, and I don't know if they're doing an analogy with Andy. I don't know. But if they are, I think it's kind of brilliant. Because as soon as he got, like, that upgrade, where he got all the information, he started doing, like, some shady shit. He started making decisions that, like, would put people at risk. And then you find out that, well, his core drive isn't protect the main character. It's what's best for the company, what's best for humans. You know, and you take risk. Hey, I'm going to shut this door. I calculate that you'll be fine. But if not, it's what's best for the company. And I just like the change of character. This idea of like, hey, the synthetic might be a person too. But like with the knowledge upgrade and, you know, the upgrade of working for the company, like it changes him. And I love seeing the back and forth nature of it. It was just interesting. I don't know if they have a point. I don't know if they're trying to say anything. But I'm intrigued by the character of Andy. And also just the actor who played him did a really good job. The main character, I thought she was fine. I thought Kaylee Spani. There's a Spani. I don't really recognize her that much. I guess she was in Pacific Rim Uprising. I don't recognize her that much. She was great in the film. I thought she did her job. I don't know if I would say Sigourney Weaver level. I don't know if she'll be the new face of Alien or anything like that. But I thought she did a really good job. I thought she was a good actress. You know, performed the role well. Dora the Explorer is in it. I kind of forgot she was in it. What's her name? Isabella Merced. I really liked her as an actress. She was good in the film. I didn't realize it was her who was playing the character. Her character is interesting. There was an interesting twist at the end involving her baby. And the idea of... They introduced the ooze. Alien ooze. And I forgot about this. Because it was in Prometheus. It's been a while since I watched Prometheus. And it was a big point in this movie. Alien ooze. And it reminded me so much of Venom. Symbiote. Probably because they said symbiote. It's symbiote in nature. And it created this xenomorph-like character that's part engineer, part human, part xenomorph. And I don't know what it is about Alien, but man, baby aliens, baby human-like aliens... wanting a mother but then being the beast at the end that you have to defeat is just a crazy idea, and I did not think that was going to be the finale for this movie, but it kind of works and it kind of expands the lore, so I don't hate it, and it was interesting. I wasn't expecting it. I don't think anyone else was, but it does put on the theme of this idea that, like, these greedy people, this desperation of humanity is trying to make humans into different things so that we could survive as a species. They're trying to change the species so we can survive as a species, but they're using, like, the most craziest idea, which is, or the most craziest species and most deadliest species, that are xenomorphs. So I don't know, it's a really fascinating series for me, but we can end it here. I say short episode and it's, you know, way longer than it. Well, actually it's short for me, but yeah, Alien Romulus, great movie. I recommend it. I would say, rating wise, I'm somewhere between a 3+ and a 4. And I'd say I think 3+ is, like, it's the floor. It's like, at worst, it's a 3+. But as I thought about it more and more and more, this movie just notches all the boxes. Right, it's really good sci-fi horror movie. The visual effects is really good. The story is surprising. It expands the lore. It's everything you wanted out of an Alien movie. Was it the lead? Was it the best movie ever? No, but man, this is a great film. I give it a solid 4. Solid 4. I can't. It's not elite. It's not the best thing ever. But man, it's no less than a great movie. So if this is the director that's taking the Alien franchise moving forward, and he can make multiple films, which is something that this Alien franchise has never done, I'm hoping for it, and I'm excited because I do really like the lore of this franchise. That being said, I did relearn some new information too. Alien Earth is coming out from the showrunner and creator Noah Hawley. If you don't recognize that name, he did Legion, he did Fargo. Or does Fargo. I still got to watch Fargo season 5. Just a great talent. A visionary showrunner. Like, he tells really good visual stories. Fargo is great. I recommend it. Legion's beautiful. The story's so confusing. But it's beautiful. So Alien Earth. I think it's before Prometheus. Or it's right after Prometheus in this timeline. It's before Alien Romulus. But yeah, that TV show is coming out, and I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. I'm happy Alien is kind of expanding the franchise, because it's a very unique franchise in terms of, like, we keep making movies about xenomorphs, but, like, the lore and the style is always different, and it's a fascinating thing. MVP for this movie, man, David Johnson. Andy was phenomenal. His performance was amazing. There's one other thing I want to talk about. too, speaking of synthetics, there is the synthetic Rook. He is a lot like the synthetic from the first film, Alien, from 80 years ago, that you CGI to like kind of re-look his image. There was an article on IGN talked about how this cameo kind of ruined the movie. And man, I disagree. So they also mentioned how it ruined Rogue One. And I'm like, Rogue One's a great film. And I understand what they meant with the idea of like CGIing dead actors to play roles. I'm not going to sit here and say like, oh yeah, I'm perfectly for it. It is weird. It is odd. It does give me like this ethical question. Like, I don't necessarily always feel good when I see it. It's uncomfortable. However, from a story-wise telling, like not including a character because the actor is dead and they like you just get rid of them and it, like the story behind it doesn't really make sense, or it's just like this weird excuse like, oh, Grand Admiral Tarkin going to be here right now. Like, that to me is like more awkward than anything. To me, like, that is more disservicing of the story than the CGI itself. You know, like, if a character, if it makes sense for the character to be there, and you have the technology, and at least, like, the okay from the family, like, hey, you can use this image, I'm okay with it. It's weird, after learning who, like, the CGI and then seeing images, and be like, okay, that's why you looked weird. Not just because he was synthetic. It's because it's CGI version of the older character. He looks just like him. It is odd. But I don't think it ruins the movie whatsoever. Maybe it does for those who are uncomfortable. And I don't mean to say it shouldn't ruin it for you. I'm sorry if it did. Me personally, though, I don't see an issue with it. As long as like all parties involved are okay with it. But it is weird. Then again, I do like the story telling aspect of it. I don't think it was necessary for them to do that with this android, but the idea is like every android is like the same. There's only a few different models of androids, so it makes sense. I don't know, but yeah, I saw the article. I want to touch on it, but yeah, Andy, MVP, David Johnson, he's the greatest character like in this. Kaylee Spani as Rain was, she was okay. She was solid. I was gonna say she's all right, but no, she did a lot better than that. Like, I don't think she's like anything to write home about, but played the part really well. Like, you ever just, someone just does a job and you like, you don't really have a reaction of their performance. It's just like, yeah, really good story. Great movie. How was her performance? It did its job. Like, it's great because it didn't take me out of it. She's not the most interesting character. I don't necessarily feel like I need a sequel to explain her character. I do really want to see Andy's character again. I just thought the actors switching did a great performance. As far as like the other people who were a part of the party, I did really like the idea of, there's Archie, Rain's ex-boyfriend. I thought he was a cool, lead point. The usual party that dies, but he's the leader of the group. You know, he's admiral. You cheer for him. Sometimes he survives these movies. He played a decent archetype. Bjorn, I do really like that storyline between him and Andy, and he's just pissed off at Andy for being a synthetic. He's just like, I just don't like them because like they will sacrifice people, and then once he gets the upgrade, he's right. Like, I really like that character because I just thought it gave out a lot of ethical questions, right? Like, hey, these synthetics will sacrifice people for the good of the company. Like, I do not blame him for hating Andy. And that was kind of just the big thing. Did Andy deserve it personally? No. And yeah, I do. The storyline behind our synthetics, artificial intelligence, do they have a consciousness? Should they be treated as people? I do think it's interesting. Sometimes I feel like it's overplayed. I felt that way when Fallout 4 came out at first, just because there's a lot of stories like that. 10 years later, playing Fallout 4, I guess 9 years later, and then seeing it now in Alien, I think it's an interesting storyline. It's not being overplayed now. Now I'm like, okay, I like the exploration of it. I guess that's just me as a person. But yeah, Alien Romulus, give it a 4. MVP is Andy David Johnson. Second runner-up is Kaylee, because she did play a really good role. Just wasn't like the role that... It's not a standout role. Isabel Merce did a decent job, but if I didn't recognize the name, I wouldn't really... It wouldn't be a memorable performance. One of those like, oh, she is in that film, that movie. Yeah, Alien Romulus, 50-ish minutes. Good time for me. All right, that's it. That is Don't Evolve Me. This is your host, Jake Sherbing, on the solo episode of Fresh Ticks of Alien Romulus. Thank you, and have a good day, or a good night, or a good morning, or a good midday. Yeah.